You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. When it comes to deciding on just what to major in at college, the humanities don't get talked about as much as they used to be. Subjects like history, foreign languages, literature, philosophy, religion, they've taken a backseat to those degrees in STEM, science, technology, engineering, math. Often there's a perception that the humanities don't offer real skills. And we know college is expensive, so it's too expensive to justify that degree. But one initiative at U of M called the Michigan Humanities Collaboratory is working to change that perception. And with us is Nick Henriksen, an associate professor of Spanish linguistics, and he oversees one of the humanities labs at the collaboratory. Nick, welcome. Good to have you here.
Good to be here.
And on the line is Colleen Buckley, who graduated from U of M last spring with a degree in Spanish, and she was an undergraduate researcher in Nick's lab. Colleen, good to have you on Stateside.
Nice to be here as well.
Nick, when a university laboratory comes to mind, I think most of us immediately think of white coats and goggles and lab gloves. How is your humanities laboratory different?
So in our lab, what we do is we actually are focusing on a unique community of bilingual speakers who live in Patagonia. Their first language is Afrikaans. Their second language is Spanish. And they are descendants of settlers from South Africa who arrived to Patagonia at the beginning of the 20th century. And so the lab that we work with, where we work with undergraduates here, is in the library here at the University of Michigan, where we work with students who analyze the speech data that we collected during two fieldwork trips.
So you've got undergrad students, and one of them was Colleen Buckley. Colleen, what was it like working in Nick's lab as an undergrad?
It was a really unique experience. The lab is really community-based. Yeah, I worked with other undergraduates, more advanced and less advanced, as well as with different professors.
And so, Nick, you've got other faculty. Yeah. You have graduate students working on your project. Mm-hmm. But the number of undergrads like Colleen who've been involved, it's kind of remarkable. What, I'm hearing more than 20?
We are 8 faculty on the project, 8 graduate students, and 23 undergraduate students. And so the undergraduates really are sort of the wind beneath our wings. They're the ones who are working on the data from the first day, the data that arrived, for example. We were collecting a lot of data while we were on site in Patagonia, and the sound files we were sending straight through Google Drive to our undergraduates who are here in Ann Arbor, and they were analyzing the data, coding the data, organizing the data in Google Drive. So they really are the ones who help us to kind of monitor and track what's happening, and then also to do some intellectual work as well.
You know, and it's interesting when I think of, if I may call it, the academic food chain. I don't know that it's often that undergrads can be described as the wind beneath somebody's wings. So you really gave them something to chew on.
I did. And so, well, we did. And so, and I think it's really important here to emphasize the idea that undergraduates who are majoring in humanities, like Colleen, for example, what they're valuing here is the opportunity to do something with their humanities degree that is tangible, that is immediate, and that has some value, that is meaningful for the human experience. And this unique context of these Afrikaans, Spanish, bilingual speakers, this community, this underexplored community, gives students something that is sort of refreshing in the sense that they're able to analyze the data using skills that they've learned in the classroom. So it really puts their humanities degree to work right away as part of the undergraduate experience, as opposed to thinking about what they can do postgraduate.
Colleen, interest in humanities is softened across the country, and there's that push to get a degree in a STEM field, that perception that the humanities don't offer, I'll use air quotes here, real skills. And of course, there's parental pressure to get a degree that results in a paycheck. Our executive producer, Joe Lindstroth, visited the lab recently and spoke with some of the student researchers. Here's one of them, Ella Deaton, talking about her parents' concerns over her choice and major.
I feel like Spanish and linguistics has really been something that I've been constantly interested in, and that was a little hard for them to accept at first. Even though they knew that I was really interested in it and they were supportive of that, they were still worried, I think.
Colleen, how was it with your parents? Did they have any worries when you chose Spanish as a major?
Definitely. I remember being on the phone with them during the fall of 2016 and kind of expressing my interest in studying Spanish. And they definitely had some initial hesitation, you know, fears that the degree wouldn't be marketable. But as I got involved with the lab, you know, they became more comfortable with my choice to study Spanish. And by graduation, they were so excited to come to Ann Arbor and see all the work that I had been doing with Nick as part of the Humanities Initiative.
Nick, do you commonly hear that for, you know, that dynamic between students and parents?
It happens a lot, yes. And so, to be frank, over the course of the past year, I've received 3 or 4 anonymous emails from parents who generously thank me and colleagues like Lorenzo Garcia for the work that we have done and for transforming their view of the humanities.
Colleen, you graduated last spring and you got a job in Chicago. What are you doing now?
I work for Bagu Consulting, which is a pharmaceutical sales and marketing consulting firm based in Evanston, Illinois.
Well, that doesn't strike me as a real typical career path for a Spanish major. Do you use your language skills at all in your job?
I don't use the hard skills that you might expect everyone who studies Spanish to have, you know, the vocab, the grammar. But studying Spanish taught me the importance of subtext, the importance of understanding how someone is saying something as opposed to just the words that they're using. And those are really important for me when I'm, you know, speaking with clients or listening in on calls.
What else do you think gave you an advantage in this job by being part of this collaboratory project?
In the lab, I was able to develop an intellectual voice. I worked with Nick. I worked with other professors, graduate students, and undergraduate students. And I became comfortable expressing my opinions, my ideas, and admitting when I had made mistakes. And those are things that are valuable in any workplace. The collaboratory was a real bridge for me between what I was learning in the classroom and what I'm doing in the real world. You know, it softened the transition from being a student to being a real adult, as the millennials say.
Nick, what have some of your other undergrad students gone on to do for careers?
There have been a variety of outcomes. So Colleen is, I think, I like to call the poster child of our collaboratory in the sense that she is somebody who got a BA in Spanish. She really fostered her communication skills, her leadership skills, to be able to land this really nice position in Chicago. Other students, one student, Claire Lang, for example, wanted to study speech pathology. And as you know, speech pathology implies working in labs and in working with clinical data. And as part of her application, you know, she was asked bluntly, what lab experience do you have? What communities have you worked with? And she was able to say, I worked in the collaboratory. This was a 40-member team. We worked with this marginalized population, this bilingual population, and here are all the skills that I've learned. Beyond that, another student, Ishan Vasista, is our webmaster. So there was a lot of negotiation with Ishan to kind of create a website that really reflected who we were, who is the community, and how the collaboration really helps to answer questions that we couldn't answer individually. And so Ishan then was able to capitalize on that experience and land a really nice position as an intern in Amazon this past summer in Boston. And he, I think, is very thankful to the collaboratory for pushing him to be able to think more about what can be done in website development and what can be done generally within his field of expertise. So there are many different ways that students have been able to, I think, progress and achieve success. But getting back to one point that Colleen mentioned before, it's really important to mention that we are dealing with language here, right? Mm-hmm. All human beings communicate. And as we are transitioning to a more diverse workplace in a more globalized world, it's really important to develop intercultural communication skills. And I think as students are analyzing language, analyzing speech, students become hypersensitive about their own speech patterns and about the power of language. And I think getting back to Colleen's point, she has really been able to understand that language is really important. The things that you say matter, and the interpretation of what you say really matters. And so that's something that is sort of a subtle takeaway from our collaboratory, but it's something that I think that lasts, that is going to last for decades for many of our students.
Colleen, what would you say to a kid considering a major in the humanities?
I would say don't be afraid to study what you're passionate about and look for opportunities there. You know, companies hire people, not just skills. So if you're doing something that you love, they'll definitely be able to see that.
So, Nick, where do you see all of this going from here?
Part of this is personal for me. And so I graduated. I completed my PhD in 2010. I had 2 other tenure stream jobs prior to arriving in Michigan in 2012. And so in those other universities that I worked at, I had very similar experiences in the classroom where I would talk to my students about my research, talk to my students about, you know, what happened on day one and what were the final outcomes. And students were equally enthusiastic. And they said, you know, gee, why don't we set up a lab? And so I would talk to my administrators about this, and they were very well-intended in their response to me, but their responses were, you know, we just don't do that here. We just don't have the resources here. I wish I could help you out. But
meaning money.
Exactly. Yes. And so I had to go back to those students and tell them no. And that is something that still hurts me today. And I keep those students in the back of my mind as I work in the collaboratory today here at Michigan. I'm very thankful for the generous support of the Humanities Collaboratory. But what I am thinking about in the long term is not just what can we do at Michigan, but what can we do at all other universities who are grappling with the same problem with this softening of enrollment in the humanities, but who don't have the resources, right? So I think that if we can really reach a broad enough audience and talk about the positive outcomes at the undergraduate level, that maybe ultimately we can have other universities find ways to create models or develop models that are similar to or analogous to what we're doing here at Michigan.
Colleen Buckley, who was part of the Michigan Humanities Collaboratory, having graduated last spring from U of M with a Spanish degree, now working in Chicago, and Nick Henriksen, Associate Professor of Spanish Linguistics, who oversees one of the humanities labs at the Michigan Humanities Collaboratory. Thanks so much to both of you for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.